savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are savor of death unto death, and to the other a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, once again thanking you for the privilege that we've been given to assemble together as your church, as your body of believers here at Northwood. We do pray for the blessing on your word. We do pray for the filling of your spirit in our hearts and minds, that you might guide us into your paths and in your way. And Lord, that we might better understand the salvation that you've given to us that is so filled with all of your promises that you will provide and have already provided, Lord, through salvation. So bless your word tonight. Bless your people. May we hear from you. And again, Lord, may you give us more wisdom and understanding that we might walk faithfully by your grace and power. Bless your people, Lord, and again, bless your word, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, "And who is sufficient for these things?" And of course, you know, nobody is sufficient without God. I think I was just talking with Brother Jason, and we were talking about people who, they think they're in control, right? And we're not in control, are we, really? We don't know what the next moment brings forth, but we know who is in control and who holds the whole world plus in his hands, right? He holds all of creation, even what we can't see, in his hands, and he is in control of all of those things. And you know, the wonderful truth of that is it gives us peace to know that. Amen. I am so glad we're just not this cosmic accident that is just floating around. And yet we can see that because there are laws, are there not? The law of gravity. Aren't you glad you never drop something and it goes up? Amen. It always goes down. And so we can thank the Lord for that. We can expect God's consistency that we see here in our creation. And so God is not just consistent in creation. He is consistent in our salvation. And we thank the Lord for that. So God knows our insufficiency in spiritual matters, and that's why he's given to us everything that we need in the Lord Jesus Christ for this life and for the life to come. So tonight we just want to consider four thoughts: God's heart of comfort, and then secondly, the proof of you, Paul's compassion for Titus, and our union with fellow believers and what that union reveals to each and every one of us. So the first thought, we want to back up to verse 8, and that is God's heart of comfort. I'm sorry, verse 1. "But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again unto you in heaviness." Remember, we talked a little bit about that this morning. This is the Corinthian church that was needing some help and understanding. There were some things that were being done that were wrong, and yet God was blessing. Listen, God is faithful even when we're not faithful, but the believer ought never to take that as an excuse for unfaithfulness. And so God is faithful. They were experiencing certain spiritual gifts, but they made big about those gifts instead of making big about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they were off kilter there, just like the disciples. Remember the disciples when God gave them power to cast out devils and to heal people, and they came back and they couldn't wait to tell the Lord all the things that they had done. And the Lord said, "Let's come apart for a little while." And those things are good, but be thankful that your names are written in heaven. That's the greater rejoicing, that you have eternal life. Not what God enables us to do here on this side, but the very fact that we have been given a relationship with God Almighty, the Creator and the Lover, really, of our souls. And so he's saying, I'm not coming here to lower the boom. I'm not coming here to hit you over the head. Because notice this, look at verse 2. "For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me?" So Paul's idea is not to wound them, but to help them, right? And so God is also wanting to do that through his word for us. So when we fail, again, the idea is not shame on us, but don't miss out on what God wants to do. Position yourself in the hands of the Lord, right? Present yourself a living sacrifice so that God can work his will and his way in our lives, and we'll be the recipients of his great grace. Verse 3, "And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. He says, I want you to know what gives me joy, and that is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, no doubt, had an immediate hand involved in the beginning of this church and the foundation and the building of the church. And so he says, I'm rejoicing in this very fact that you have the same relationship with God that I have. Isn't that good? God says, he's not saying, oh, well, listen, only this group here, they're going to get the full measure of the Spirit of God. And this group over here, they're going to get a half measure. This group over here is only going to get 10%, and you guys just figure it out. The Lord hasn't left us like that. He's given to us all of the promises that he's promised to every believer. And that's why we find the Apostle Paul saying, listen, come into that place. And that's what we're, when we say striving, not really by our effort, but what is involved in our striving to get to the place where God can bless us? Well, it just involves prayer. A sincere prayer and saying, Lord, I want you to do that in my life. And then let me ask you this. It is God's will to bring us to become a sanctified people, a holy people for his honor and glory, a royal priesthood. That's God's will. So we don't have to ask God wondering, will he do it? Because if it's his will he withhold any good thing? No, he won't. So if we know it's his will, when we ask the Lord, how should we walk away? Oh, Lord, I hope you do it. Or, Lord, I thank you for doing this. I've asked you. I know it's your will. I am walking in that faith that you will do this. You will perform what you've promised in my life. So he says, I want you to know, Paul is saying, I joy in your joy. Do you know what brings joy? Aren't you amazed when God is working in your life? Isn't it amazing? You know, we pray for lost loved ones on our Born of Four prayer list. And Brother Wright texted me sometime last week and was excited about, and I would be too, and I was, amen. His brother got involved in I'm gonna read the Bible through. We're praying for his salvation. Now all of us, well, where did that come from? God's faithfulness. He may be thinking he's done this, maybe he's doing this on his own, but listen, when you got saved, wasn't God involved in all of that? We don't see that before. See, when I was approaching the Lord, I was trying to understand because I didn't understand that God was leading me to salvation. God was leading me to understand what salvation was all about so I can make a choice whether or not I would receive him. And to me, there was no other choice but to receive the Lord. But listen, without God leading me to that place, I would have never come to it. And so I praise the Lord for all of that. And so the fellow that led me to the Lord, he was rejoicing also. Because what is that a confirmation of? It is a confirmation of God not only using us, but giving other people the same thing we have received. And there's joy in that. And so Paul was saying, listen, I'm excited when God's people are on the same page as me. Amen? Because there is a unity of the Spirit of God that is rejoicing and praising and worshiping God in the way that honors and glorifies him. We're not thinking about who's got this and who doesn't have that. We're thinking all about Jesus and what he's given to every one of us. So look at verse 4. He says, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Wow, that's powerful. He says, I want you to know I'm concerned for you. My heart goes out to you. That is a work of the Lord. Listen, remember this man, the Apostle Paul? You know what his heart was before? To destroy the church. Now he's in tears. Now, why? Because of God. The very same God, amen, that saved him is the very same God that is moving in him for the betterment of God's people. And by the way, God wants to move in our lives for the betterment of God's people. So he says, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. I want you to know my heart for you. This is a heart of a genuine minister that has the same heart of God. That's had the same heart. And by the way, you know what God's heart towards you and I is? Love. He loves us. And he wants us to enter into a deeper relationship with him. Notice this, verse 5. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part that I might not overcharge you all. So now he's going to talk about forgiving here, right? He's saying, listen, sometimes when grief comes, there's an apology that's necessary. But the main thing is not that process, but the restoration of a relationship that is the most important thing. Don't just go through all these things and forget what's really the focal point, and that is to be in harmony with our God and with one another, because that is how the army of God moves forward and overthrows the foe, the devil, and the world and the flesh to have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is also seen by the work, the effectual working that God is doing in our own lives to give us that understanding, that the world might see God's grace in us and be amazed at God's love, really, towards us. The world, let's just put it down simply, the world does not understand God. Amen? They can't. But you and I, who've been given salvation, can. And then we want to have other believers see that love, encourage them in it, and then ultimately for the lost world to see that love as well and want to have it. So he says this, verse 6, sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him. So this is the whole point, to restore and to comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Listen, the flesh glorifies in getting even. God says, that's not, God says, vengeance is mine. Leave that to me. You be a peacemaker. Isn't that what he said? Blessed are the peacemakers. That's what God wants us to be. And God has given us his peace to give to other people. So verse 8, he says, wherefore I beseech you, or I plead with you, that you would confirm your love toward him. That's how it's confirmed. How do we know we've got a confirmed love? We're in the business of restoring people. We're in a business of encouraging people because of what God is. God's encouraging us. If we're in right relationship with the Lord, God is awing us and encouraging us. So let me ask you this question that I've asked many times. Did Paul have hardships in his life? Did Paul have trials in his life and difficulties? And yet, did he not possess the joy of the Lord? Amen. Do you know God wants us to understand we have the same God, we have the same spirit that the Apostle Paul had. We don't have the same office. Obviously, there are no more apostles, and God hasn't called us to that. But God has called each and every one of us to himself. And all we need to be willing to do is say, Lord, I want to be yours. I want you to use me to fulfill your will in heaven, amen, and also in earth here. As it is in heaven, so may it be here on earth. And the only way that it's going to do that is through God's people. So as we consider this, we find God's heart of comfort, by the way, which ought to be his people's heart as well. And then he makes this statement, the proof of you. And notice the joint service between Paul and the believers here at Corinth. And don't forget, they're the ones that needed correction. They're the ones that needed to be, how would you say, put back on track, on the right track. And so verse 9 says this, for to this end also did I write, that you might know the proof of you. Isn't that amazing? Not to discover ourselves, but God's proving and working through us. The proof of you is the idea here of the power of God in our lives and God's working. The proof of, so we call ourselves Christians. Where's the proof? Amen? Where's the proof? We ought to have the proof of salvation. We ought to have the proof of being a child of God through the Lord in our lives. And so he says, for to this end also I did write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. And how can we be obedient to follow the Lord in all things but by the Spirit of God? Listen, can a saved child of God, think carefully with me, can a saved child of God ever fulfill the will of God in the flesh? And if it was fulfilled in the flesh, is it acceptable before the Lord? Absolutely not. And so, where's the proof, right? Where's the proof of our testimony, our profession to say, I am a child of the King. God has redeemed me by the blood of the Lamb. I have repented, turned from mine own ways to the Lord's way. And that's the way I want to walk. So he says, how will we know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things? Well, the truth is we know more than anybody else how obedient we are to the Lord. We know what motivates us to make decisions. Is it me or God? Amen? It ought to be the Lord. So when I make decisions, am I making them for me or for the glory of the Lord? I can make them for me, but I ought to make decisions for the glory of the Lord. And that's how we walk by faith. Lord, listen, the Lord has empowered me. The Lord has empowered us, amen, to walk in his grace. And so all I have to do is, we complicate it, and I understand that complication because I deal with it also. But once we believe that, then every decision is yours for your glory, God. And so when this comes up, Lord, this temptation maybe not to be truthful, that's out of the question, Lord, because it's your glory that's at stake. Bless God, that's the way I'm walking. Amen? And if there's something over here that I shouldn't look at, and by the way, in the world, there's lots of things that God's children should not look at, then I'm looking this way. I mean, it's just that simple. But now if I say, well, I might want to look at that. Well, then we're wrong. Then if I is on the throne, we've got a problem. Or maybe I want to do something. So first of all, who's it all about? Is it about my relationship with the Lord or is it about my relationship with me? That's very small. My relationship with me will confine me to a very small spectrum in my relationship of this existence. So the lost world has that kind of a relationship with themselves. It's all about number one. When we move to the realm of God, we move into an infinite realm where God can do things in and through us and for us that only he could do that we can enjoy. So it boils down, and I'm not saying temptations aren't real. I'm not saying trials aren't real. But what I'm saying is God is more real. Amen? The truth prevails if we'll just say, I'm yielding to the truth. I'm giving the right of way to the Lord in my life. Okay? So as we consider this idea of the proof of you, look at verse 10 with me. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. Because that's the Spirit of Christ. That's the Spirit of Christ. If I forgive anything to whom I forgive it, for your sakes, forgive I it in the person of Christ. It's the Spirit of Christ. So in other words, if you forgive somebody, I forgive them too. I won't hold a grudge. The worst thing we can do, the worst thing because we have the same nature, the worst thing that we could do is tell everybody about what somebody has done wrong to ourselves or somebody else. Because all we're doing then is we're not glorifying the Lord. We have narrowed our spectrum back down to us. And what we're doing is we don't admit to this, all right? Don't confess to this. Have you ever been worked up, some would say, into a lather, amen, by a friend of yours telling you what somebody has done to them, and you took their side? Somewhere in life, everybody's done that, I'm sure. If I'm mistaken, you could tell me that too. But anyway, we do that, and what did that person do for us? They didn't put us in the spirit. They put us in the flesh. So what are we doing to do that to somebody else? We're not putting them in the spirit. We're putting them in the flesh. And we're creating a division. We're creating a division. Listen, God will take care of the wrong. We must take care to follow the Lord. And God says to forgive them. Listen, have you ever made a mistake? Have you ever done something wrong? We all have, haven't we? And so don't we need that understanding and that forgiveness and that in the Spirit of Christ? And that's a restoring spirit. That's a building spirit. nobody can show us the error of our way better than God. And when we allow that to take place, and he will, as we walk to glorify the Lord, we will start seeing things before they, as those things approach, we will start seeing and God will start revealing to us. Now, before we act, we will start seeing what to do. If we're being led by the Spirit, then we're going to follow the Spirit. We'll have that opportunity. But if we never even entertain the idea of the potential of the Spirit's work in our life, then we're not going to have that option. All we're going to have is the flesh. That's it. And so, and that's what happens when we don't understand this, the working of the Spirit of God in our lives to keep us from doing those things that are ungodly and unrighteous, is that we're just going to respond in the flesh. If we don't believe that the Spirit is there to help us, we're never going to entertain, and God's not going to be able to, or He won't intervene in the way that He wants to intervene if we don't have faith in Him. Our trust has to be in Him. Lord, You can keep me from going down the wrong path. Can He not? Is there anything impossible for the Lord? And so notice again here, he says, make sure that you forgive, and whoever you forgive, I forgive it. Verse 10, look at the bottom there. For your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Why? Listen to this. Lest Satan should get an advantage of who? You know what Paul was saying? Of us. You know what Paul was saying? This can happen to us. He wasn't saying, this can only happen to you. Paul understood the warfare. Listen to this. Lest Satan, verse 11, should get an advantage of us. Listen to this. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Wait a minute. Did you get that? That is the devil's device to cause a division, to bring in a wedge, to pull us apart, and then we lose the harmony of the Spirit of God that He wants in His body. And now all of a sudden what we're doing is we're cutting off an arm, we're cutting off a leg, we're cutting off an ear, we're putting out an eyeball. That's a mess. Amen? Amen. And that's not the way God wants His body to perform, tearing itself apart, imploding, right? And the world says, get a load of them. That dishonors the Lord. And so how important is it for us to walk in the Spirit and the grace of God by His power? Lord, it's important. Lord, listen, one thing is for sure, we need You. Amen. We need You, God. Or this is the way we will go without the Lord. And so it just stands to reason, if this is the way that we're going, we're without the Lord. I didn't say you weren't saved. I'm just saying we're without the power of God that God wants in our lives to keep us from doing these things. Because He says we can have an entrance into heaven that would be glorious to the Lord. And that's what we ought to strive for, because God is the one that's going to provide it for us and through us. And that's what Paul is saying. He says, listen, I want you to know something in verse 11, that lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Paul is throwing himself in the same boat. He's saying, listen, we don't want to go down that path. And so this evening, God would tell us, we don't want to go down that path. Amen? All of us know that the potential is there, but it doesn't have to be because of the grace of God. All right? So this is the proof of every believer, and we don't want to fall prey to the devil's schemes and plans and foils, and to end up ruining the cause of Christ in our own lives. But he does want us to have a compassion one for another. And so Paul explains this compassion that he had in this particular case for Titus. Notice what he says here in verse 12. Furthermore, on top of what you just been reminded of about this unity, about this forgiving one another and this communion with one another and the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. So was he concerned about Titus? He was concerned. And you know what? We ought to be concerned one for another. You know what he said? He said, I was not able to function the way God wanted me to function until I understood where Titus was at and where he was at, right? How he was doing and where things were at. And so, and they understood this particular case. There was no rest for him, he said. All right? So the last thought is here, our union with fellow believers and what this union reveals. So now he says, I want you to know, when there's disharmony, things are not right. And then he's going to conclude this thought here. Now, right now, at this present moment, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Now think about that thought just for a moment. He was talking about what we can't do in the flesh. We can't forgive really in the flesh, can we? We can't really forgive, because that means we don't have those thoughts anymore. And you can remember, because I know the flesh, when people have wronged you, today, if you were to tell me about somebody that wronged you, and you were telling me the story, and I said, "You're right." Oh man, I just fanned that flame. Oh, did I just fan you? I could tell you about somebody that wronged me, and if you told me you're right, you're fanning the flame for me. We're going to have us a fire, and we're going to roast somebody. Amen. And that's dangerous. Be careful what we say, right? And it's important that we don't roast people, amen, spiritually or figuratively speaking. So where is our help that we need? Well, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Now listen to this. How does he do this? Listen. And maketh manifest. He makes revealed, he reveals this savor of his knowledge by us in every place. And that word savor can also be used fragrance, right? Fragrance. Teenagers, when they first start learning about underarm deodorant. Amen? Whoo! Man, I don't like that fragrance. Amen? Go put some underarm deodorant on. In fact, go take a shower first, then put some underarm deodorant. Now, because you know, when you've gotten to that place already, you need a shower, amen? Hey, ain't nothing going to cover that up. But listen, here's the thing also. In our lives, Christ, when we are robed with the righteousness of Christ, he is the one that cleanses us by the word of God, and he also gives us a fragrance that honors and glorifies the Lord, that is attractive and sweet to the believer as well as to the world. And so notice again, he says this, verse 14, now thanks be unto God, it comes from him, which always, so listen, how often can God cause us to triumph? That's what it says. So if we don't believe that, where's the problem? In our faith, in our trust in God. See, when we don't believe that, when we say that can never happen, I can't. We're just like Elijah. Lord, I'm the only one, right? And I'm not saying it wasn't real, and I'm not saying I wouldn't have been in the same boat. Amen. But one thing that we have that he didn't have is the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and so we can walk in that 24/7 that's been given to us and that we're sealed with. So notice this. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Right there we ought to stop and say, praise God, I've got the victory. Do you know that I always triumph in Christ? I'm just repeating God's word. Do you know that God says I can, not most of the time, not some of the time, but I can always triumph in Christ. Praise you, God. Amen. That I can triumph in Christ. Man, listen, see, we don't go from defeat to victory. We go from victory through salvation unto victory. So I've got salvation, you have salvation, we're rejoicing in that, and now I want to rejoice even more because God always causes us to triumph. Praise the Lord. Amen. So now we're going from victory unto victory. And by the way, Paul is talking to a church that had some things wrong. But let me ask you a question. Is he starting a fire by talking bad about other people? Or is the fire of God coming down through Paul and encouraging these people to be on fire for God and his righteousness? So he says, he always maketh me to triumph in the Lord. And notice this. And maketh manifest, this is this revelation, the savor or the fragrance of his knowledge by us in some places? That means everywhere we go. That means in every, not just in church, but everywhere. That's our calling. That's God's promise in your life and mine. So notice this, ready? Verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet what? We can use that word fragrance. Did you know that? You are a sweet fragrance to the Lord. Do you know why? Because of God's grace. Because of salvation. Because of the Holy Spirit. All of those are right. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Of Christ. You have the fragrance of Christ. Because of the indwelling Spirit. In them that are saved and in them that perish. So and he's going to tell us what that means here. Verse 16. To the one we are savor of death unto death. In other words, those who reject Christ. Because remember, listen, we are a sweet, the sweet savor of Christ in every place. So that means in every place there are going to be some saved, and in every place there's going to be some that are lost. And those who reject the Lord, it is still a sweet savor because they've heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, it's going to be of death because they're already dead and unto death ultimately if they reject the Lord. So to the one we are savor of death unto death, and to the other we are savor of life. Why? Because of being saved unto life, more life. And then he says this, and who is sufficient for these things? Not a single one of us by ourselves. None of this takes place without Jesus, amen? None of this takes place without the Holy Spirit in our lives. Is that the truth? Amen. That's the truth. Last thought. Notice this, and it's, it has to be sincere. Remember, I shared with you without wax, and this is specifically here to this area of Corinth here, when they would make their vases and all these things. Remember I told you, like, when they would heat up their works of art or their vessels, and sometimes the heat, if the porcelain or whatever it was wasn't just right, it could crack, and then they would put wax in there. Unless you buy it and take it home, and you wouldn't know until it was out on a hot day or something like that, or you got it by the fire or something, that wax would melt and that pot would leak, amen? Or that vase or that vase would leak. And so God wants us to be sincere, and that also can be rendered without wax. Not a false covering, right? So, last thought, ready? So he says at the bottom of verse 16, who is sufficient for these things? And then he says, who we are. Did you see this? Listen, don't miss this. Paul is saying, this is who we are. He's not saying, this is who I am, and you guys ought to wish to be that way. He is saying, this is who we are, because we're in Christ. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. That's not what God's will is. But as of sincerity, without wax, the genuine article, no defects. But as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Listen, did you hear that? We speak in Christ. We walk in Christ. We live in Christ. We do all for the glory of Christ. Amen? Our Redeemer and our Creator. And listen, God has not left us alone to do this by ourselves. Isn't that good? Amen. We are on the Lord's side and are more than conquerors. Doesn't that make sense now? And more than victors. He's already done it. And so what should we do? Pray for that, or thank God. Thank God that he's done it, and now walk in that truth. Amen? Amen. And trust him to fulfill it. Don't do this. I thank you, God. Oh, I hope I can do it. Don't do that. Don't do that. Thank you, Lord. I know you can do it, and you will do it. And watch what he will do. And then listen, you're going to have your own worship time. with the Lord, when you see him doing, when you're in your life, living your life, and you're saying, Lord, I know you're going to do this for me, and he does it, you're going to know. You're not going to say, oh, I hope I remember to thank the Lord. No. You're going to know, God's going to let you know that he did that for you, and you're going to stop, and you're going to, in your car, in your house, wherever you're at, you're going to thank the Lord in whatever situation, in the grocery line, thank you, God. Amen? For your great faithfulness. And as we praise the Lord, do you know what we're doing? We're honoring God in what he's promised. Amen. You know what he says? You know what he says? I know this child of mine understands where their grace comes from, and they won't rob me of my glory that I've given to them. I can trust them because they understand and they've sought me out in this. And they've trusted me and they put their faith and trust and belief that I will perform that. And you're going to have something with the Lord that he wants for every one of his children. Amen. And when you walk, listen, when you walk into a dark and dying world with the glory of God, the world's going to see a light in the world. Amen? Amen? Wait, it gets better than that. Then, as you've walked through this world with the light of God, and you come to church service with other believers that are walking in the light of God, wow. Wow, the worship. Wow, the praise and the excitement. We would say that's setting our souls on fire for God. Amen? And it's the Lord's work. So who is sufficient for these things? Well, the answer is not us. But who is sufficient for these things? Amen. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for what you've already given and have already done for us through salvation. May you give us more wisdom and understanding that you might receive all the glory and we the blessing. Again, Lord, bless your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.